Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday and also a happy New Year. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank God for allowing us to see all of 2019 and that we're glad to be going into 2020. So with that, we're going to get started with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow. And thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you would bless us, that we will be able to study and to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we thank God for another year where we're studying the Word of God, and believe that Sheila G. and Dr. G. are probably, you know, later if they get on at all tonight, but we just wanted to continue this first Thursday in the year and be thankful for the word of God, because many of us know that it's the word of God that has kept us through all of 2019. And because God doesn't change, it will be the word of God that keeps us in 2020. And we had a great watch night service on Wednesday morning, praise God and just reflected on the goodness of God down through the years. And I know on the last time we were together when we were studying the Word, that we were talking about how the generational blessings have been passed down as we look at the seventh chapter of the book of Acts. We see the bloodline of Jesus. And in that bloodline, we see how early on, when Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, that God put a plan into action. That was from Genesis 3:15, that would bring us back to the right relationship with God after the fall in the Garden. And everyone that was born through Adam and Eve, down to you and I and our children, have had this sin issue, where we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of that, that puts us in the proper relationship with God. And so God put us a plan into action to bring us back into the proper relationship with Him. And so we see that all through the New Testament, God sent prophets, He sent priests, He sent people of God to testify of Him through every generation. And in the book of Acts, they call it the book of the Holy Ghost, when the church is born, we see the Old Testament and New Testament come together. And as the New Testament characters come on the scene, they talk about how the Old Testament saints carried on the tradition, or carried on the religion, or carried on the faith, if you will, in God, and how important it was to pass on that generational blessing. And you know, a lot of times people get caught up with money and riches and spoils, but if you could pass on a generational blessing of faith in God, I think that is the most biggest thing that anybody could pass on to their children or their offspring. And down through the years, there's been a spiritual battle between those who wanted to teach and spread the good news of God and good news of the gospel, and those that wanted to prop up a lie and wanted to remain in power. And you often hear me talk about on the Bible line that the religious Babylon and political Babylon, but those are the two powers of this world, religion and politics, that dominate people's lives and control people. And depending on what side of the politic or the religion you're on, you find yourself either advantaged or disadvantaged. And so there's always a constant battle. And in those battles, people try to oppress each other. People try to keep each other down. And it's been going on since the beginning of time. And so earlier I talked about the Word of God and how it was a blessing to have the Word of God to be able to negotiate these troubled waters that we live in. And that's the thing about the Word of God. It gives us a foundation to be able to look at what's going on in our lives today, what's going on in this world today, and we can reflect back to the Word of God, no matter what year, what matter, what century or generation, and say these are the same principles that are being violated or being upheld, that were being violated or upheld back in the day. And it's all because of that man, it's his nature, sin nature, to be selfish, to be anti-God, to be anti-anyone that doesn't agree with them. And the Bible points them out. And so in Acts, the book we've been studying, in the seventh chapter, Stephen, one of the earliest witnesses of God, is proclaiming to the Pharisees, the priests, the religious rulers of that day, that they have been behaving in a way that's ungodly. And he goes back to the beginning of time, and he walks them through from Abraham all the way down through Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through the 12 sons or 12 tribes of Jacob, who was called Israel, to the place where Joseph was in a position where he led God's people during time of famine, during time of oppression, and he was in favor with the king, with Pharaoh, who was over Egypt at that time. And so we see that this time, even when they're in bondage, that God was still watching out for them. Even when they were oppressed, God was still watching out for them. And through all of that, God's plan was to bring his son through his people Israel, and it doesn't seem like it will be our plan, but this is how his plan has come through fruition. And so Stephen went back and recited all of these things, and came to a point where they were released from the famine, and there became king or a pharaoh that didn't know Joseph, and so didn't have favor with Joseph. And so the spiritual climate or the spiritual dynamic changed, and they had to deal with a new king and a new pharaoh that would oppress them more. And that's when baby Moses came on the scene. So if we go back to chapter 7 and we pick up at verse 11, it says, "Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And at the second time, Joseph made known to his brethren that Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh." And so Joseph was able to talk to Pharaoh, even though his brothers had sold him into slavery. He rose to the top of the kingdom, and he interpreted a dream of the king that there would be years of famine and there would be years of plenty. And during the years of plenty, that they should put away grain to prepare for the years of famine. And so he did that, and he found favor in the sight of the Pharaoh. But there came a time, if we continue down to verse 13, it says, "And the second time Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known to him. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 70 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt, and he died, and our fathers, and were carried over to Shechem, and laid in the sepulchre that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Emor, the father of Shechem." And that was the time that Jacob was passed off the scene. And so in verse 17 it says, "But the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abram. The people grew and multiplied in Egypt." So God's people were growing in spite of the situation. God was still taking care of them through the famine, through the oppression. And in verse 18, the whole dynamic changes. And a lot of times in our lives, when these dynamic changes happen, we have to rely on God, because the dynamic shift is to a place where we are not in a situation where we can handle it on our own. That's the thing about the Word of God, and we talked about earlier, is the Word of God is there to help us, because when life happens, we're not equipped to be able to handle it on our own, but we're being made to be able to lean and depend on God. So here in verse 17, it says, "But then the time of promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham. The people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose, which knew not Joseph." In other words, things changed. "The same dealt subtly with our kindred and evil, and treated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end they might not live." And I want to read that in the NIV in verse 19. It says, "He dealt treacherously." Let's go back to verse 18. "Then the new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came to power in Egypt. He dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our ancestors by forcing them to throw out their newborn babies so that they would die." Again, this is, like I said, you're going from favor to the fire. And, you know, God's plan never promises that the road will be easy, but he promises that he'll be with us. And we see they go from a time of famine to a time of surviving the famine to a time of favor with Joseph and the existing Pharaoh, to a time of great struggle. And you see that in today's environment, where you look at the leaders of the United States. You had people in power in the presidency and Senate and Congress and state and local governments, where you have people that are decent and things go well. And then there are times where You have people that are looking out for self-interest, and they're not running things well, and so the people suffer. So you have that ebb and flow. You have it up and you have it down. And you see that through it all, God will bring us through. We've had some good leaders. We've had some bad leaders. But through it all, the faith in God was able to bring us through. And it's unfortunate that these are the kind of people that would wreak evil on another people. But through that wreaking of oppression and evil, God is still working his plan. And that's why we need the word of God, because without the word of God, we would be lost. We would be confused. We would be asking God, why is this? Why is this? God, we have no hope. Why is this allowed to happen? But when you know the word of God, and you can turn to the word of God, and you can lean on the word of God, and know that the word of God is what's going to bring us through, we can have an assurance to know that even when God allows us to go through these things, he's going to go through with us. And so their lives were changed, and they knew a king that didn't know Joseph, and they had someone that treated them evil, so much so that they wanted to get rid of the Israelites because they had grown so powerful. And because they had grown so powerful, they said they would kill off the male seed. And to kill off the male seed, what they did was made them kill their children at a young age. Any male child that was born, they would kill them. And, you know, you see these stories in the Bible, and you see the genocide that's still alive and well in this world. And a lot of times people will look at the Bible as something that's just a story, or just, you know, fables or fairy tales. When you look at the Bible and you look at it in the context of today's world, today's society, and generations that we're familiar with, you see these same type of things going on, where people want to stay in power, where people are scared of religions that are not religions, or people that are growing. In this particular country that we live in, the United States of America, you have more and more people that are people of color from different backgrounds. We are a country, a nation of immigrants. But when those immigrants begin to start multiplying with a different hue of skin, what happens with the people that are of the a fair complexion, European complexion, there is a sense of fear, of being replaced, fear of being overrun, and it turns into ideas of trying to keep a purity, a false sense of purity, where they would try to eliminate people who are not like them. And we see this has happened in biblical times. We see it's happening in today. And there's truly nothing new under the sun. And so because of the insecurity of Pharaoh and his people, they tried to kill off the multiplying Israelites. And, you know, we just past week have seen anti-Semitism. We see the mass incarceration of people of color, a disproportionate amount of time, people of color, black men in jail for similar crimes as their European counterparts. And it is clearly a thing of people being insecure. And because they're insecure, their position, they try to oppress, try to disenfranchise people with their civil rights, their human rights, voting rights. And in doing these things, it is just proving out what the Bible has taught us, is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we can't put our trust in man, because man is susceptible to his sinful nature. And not only is that he's being oppressed by the European or the people in power, but he also turns on himself. I often looked at statistics on black-on-black crime, and we'll see later on in this chapter where Moses actually kills one of his own people. And that's another device of the enemy, is that when they're not oppressing and killing a group, is to create a division or hatred for each other, and to be successful in keeping them oppressed is to get them to turn on each other. And, you know, in today's society, we see black-on-black crime. We see cities and communities where the oppressed are actually killing the oppressed. And it is a dual-edged sword, because you're getting killed and oppressed by the oppressor, and then the ones that are in power are getting us to a situation where we actually turn on each other. So it is the Bible that is the thing that doesn't change. It allows us to see man for who he is, sin for who he is. It calls evil evil, calls righteousness righteous. And it's good to see the flawed characters in these people of the Bible, because as we live and as we grow, we'll see the flawed characters in ourselves. And again, we talked about the last time we were together, passing on the generational blessing, is that we have to pass along this word so people can understand, you know, that this is not nothing new. This is people that are operating, that don't want to operate under the guide of God, the laws of God, the rules of God. They don't want to be godly, but they want to be in charge, and they want to be selfish, and they want to be guided by themselves instead of guided by God. And so we have this thing where they're being oppressed by the people in power, and they're also being oppressed and killed by each other, which is a tragic thing. And again, we see that today, the tragedy of black-on-black crime, when black people are robbing and killing each other and taking advantage of each other, and instead of coming together, instead of being unified under the hand of God, they rebel, and they get to a point where they behave in a manner where the oppressor can say, see, that's why they're in that situation, because they don't know how to act. They need me to be able to control them and oppress them, because without my hand, they cannot behave correctly. And every time you hear black-on-black crime, or you see people of color steal and kill each other, that's the guise that they use to stay in power. And so we'll see that in this generation of God, where the 12 tribes came through. And in spite of all these things, the bloodline of Jesus Christ is still going to make it through. And you know, even with Pharaoh and the Egyptians trying to kill all of the young male seed, God was able to allow the bloodline to continue and his people to continue. And so it's good to know the words, good to know God, that in spite of it all, God's plan is going to come through and that God's going to get the glory. So let's look at verse 20. And in verse 20 it says, in which time Moses was born. This is Acts 7, verse 20. In which time Moses was born, and he was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And so again, God is watching out for Moses. And if you go back in the Old Testament, it tells a bigger account. But Stephen is telling the account that even though Moses was put in the river by his mom, God was allowed him to be raised by his mom. Pharaoh's daughter was bought Moses, and she allowed the child to be nurtured by her maid, who was Moses' mother. And so in the end, he was allowed to be nourished and raised by his own mother in God's infinite wisdom, that this was able to occur. And so in spite of all the treachery, in spite of all the evil, in spite of all the negative things that occur in the world, God's plan has a way of holding favor for people to carry out his plan. And so you look at verse 21, it says, and he was cast out. Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And verse 22, it says, and Moses was learned and in all the wisdom of the Egyptian, was mighty in words and deeds. And in verse 23, it says, and when he was full 40 years old, he came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. So God trained him and raised him up. And at 40 years old, he recognized that Israel was his people. And in that period of time, he learned things, and obviously had a feel that he wanted better for his family. And so in verse 24 it says, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. And now here again we see the flaws of man, that he ends up killing the Egyptian, and he's killing the Egyptian thinking that killing the Egyptian was going to cause the people of Israel to follow him as their deliverer. But how many times when you think that you're doing one thing, God has something else in store for you. So as we continue to go down to verse 25, it says, well, he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver him, but they understood not. And a lot of times we think it's real simple, but the plan is a little more detailed. It's going to take a little more time. And you know, I want to you know, just kind of go in a little deeper here, is that we as humans, we think, okay, this is how this is supposed to go. This is the right time for this to go. And if we do this, people will understand this. And sometimes we think it's not that complicated. But at 40, Moses was just starting. And you know, I tell people all the time is that we have to be in it for the long run and not think it's just going to happen overnight. So Moses figured he got raised up, and his mother raised him, and he learned the things of Egypt, and, you know, it was time for him to go and deliver his people. And so he goes down there and kills the Egyptian, and he looks to his people and says, all right, you know, I'll lead you. And I see I killed an Egyptian, and the people weren't ready to receive him as their leader. And it is a thing of it has to be in God's time. And a lot of times in ministry, you can see it clearly or you understand it clearly, but the people that you're working with in ministry or the people that you're trying to minister to, they can't see it. And so you have to be in the position where, or David said, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. And it's hard to wait, and it's hard to be of good courage when you wait. But God says, wait upon the Lord and be of good courage. And so a lot of times we don't want to see people doing wrong. We don't want to see people suffering. And so we go into ministry, and we go in strong, and we minister, and we put effort and time in. And the effort and the time, it seems like it doesn't have the effect that we want it to have. But we have to realize that as long as we're following God's plan and long as we're doing it God's way, you know, we're just watering, we're just planting, and God will give the increase. So if we go down to verse 26, Acts 7, verse 26, it says, "And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren, why do you wrong to one another?" And in verse 27 it says, "But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee ruler and a judge over us?" And so here they're not ready to receive Moses as their leader. And it's sometimes the people that are trying to look out for you are the people that you don't appreciate or the people that you take for granted. And so here's Moses trying to reason with them, but because they weren't ready, they said, "Who made us judge over us?" And then not only did they say, "Who made us judge over us?" but then they wanted to tell him about himself. And so in verse 28, it says, "Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday?" And so Moses wasn't ready. The people weren't ready. But all of this had to transpire. All of this had to go down because it was a part of what God's plan would allow for the people to realize that they needed God. And sometimes it takes a minute. Sometimes it takes some devastating things to happen in people's lives before they realize that they need God and they need God's plan. And so what did Moses do when they told him, "Yeah, you killed that fella, and you're not judge over us. Who pointed you judge over us? And you're not ready, and we're not ready, and it's not God's plan." So what did he do in verse 29? In verse 29, he says, "Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons." And again, so he's gone, and he's still in God's plan. But sometimes when you're in God's plan, sometimes it doesn't feel like you're in God's plan. And so God has these things happen at the age of 40, but it took another 40 years to mold and to shape Moses and God's people to a place where they're ready to go to another level. And that's the thing about serving, is you have to serve your life out. You have to serve a time that God has, and God's plan is not always understood by us, and God's ways are not always understood by us, but we have to continue serving. So in verse 30, it says, "And when 40 years were expired," now think about that. Let's think about that. He's 40 years old. He said, "All right, I want to go help my people. They're mistreating each other, and it's not good, and they're oppressed. And, you know, he killed the Egyptian, trying to show, hey, let me lead, and let me be the one for you." And they said, "No, we don't want you. And who made you judge over us? What, you going to kill us too?" And, you know, it's a lot of drama going on. And so God says, "You know, these people aren't ready yet. I need to groom Moses some more. So I'm going to allow them to serve here. I'm allow them to remain in bondage here." And then you get to that verse 30, "And when 40 years were expired," that's a long time to us, but to God, it's not that long. And it said, "There appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord, in the flame of fire in a bush." And so that lets us know that no matter what age you are, no matter what stage you are in your life or in ministry, that God hasn't forgot about us. He hasn't forgot about you. He hasn't forgot about me. He still has a plan for us. The plan hasn't changed. The orders haven't changed, but God knows us, and He knows what's best for us, and He knows what time frame to use us and to elevate us. And so we have to trust God, and it's not an easy thing to walk by faith and not by sight. But in the end, just like Joseph, just like Abraham, just like Isaac, just like Jacob, these people, these patriarchs, these people of faith endured suffering, hardship, frustration, struggle, just like us. But in God's time, there are moments where God will send the angel, God will elevate, God will promote, God will use you in a position or use us in a position when the time is right. But until then, we have to remain steadfast. We have to remain unmovable. We have to remain always abounding in the work of the Lord, and realize that sometimes the journey is going to be a little rough. Sometimes the journey is going to take longer than we think. Sometimes it's going to take us some roads that we really don't want to go down. But as long as we can go with God. I know the psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me." And so on some of those journeys that you just don't feel good, it doesn't look good, and you know, it might be someone going through on their job, or going through with a loved one, or going through with a neighbor, or going through with the church or ministry. But realize that God hasn't forgot, that God knows what's going on, that God understands, and that God has a plan. And so here 40 years later, God sending Moses, an angel, in a flame of fire in a bush. And they said the bush wasn't consumed. And a lot of times we see and we understand, how in the world did these things be sustained? How did these people get sustained in the wilderness? How did these people get sustained in oppression? How did they come out of slavery? How did they come out of bondage? How did they come out of difficult times in their lives? It's because God kept them in the midst of what they were going through. So here you see a flame of fire in a bush. And God let them know that it was Him by telling them that He was on holy ground. So if you look at verse 31, it says, "When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came to him." Verse 32, saying, "I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses trembled and durst not behold. So at the moment where you think that all is lost, and you've given up on God, you've given up on ministry, you've given up on everything, God will send the angel, and God will let you know that He is the one that's holy, and that He's the one that's in charge. So in verse 33, it says, "Then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground." God revealed Himself to Moses 40 years. He was with him for the first 40 years. He was with them when they tried to kill him, put him in the river, and they were drowning and they were killing their young. And God was with them to a point where the woman that birthed him would eventually be the one that nursed him. God saw him through his difficult days where he was actually a murderer, where he murdered someone, and he was at odds with his family and at odds with his countrymen, where he had to flee and be on the run, a fugitive from justice, if you will. And all of those things that lets us know that, you know, God dealt with people that were ordinary men and ordinary women that weren't perfect men and women, that had challenges, that had flaws in their lives, had things that they would not be proud of. But through the generational blessings, they knew about God. And in spite of their shortcomings, they still hung around and they still trusted God. Sometimes their faith was strong. Sometimes it wasn't as strong as it should have been. But they were introduced to God and they knew God. And God let Himself be known unto them. And so Moses is trembling here in verse 32. and he is at a place where he's having a moment where God is getting ready to use him, getting ready to elevate him, and getting ready to allow him to go to another challenge in his life. And so in verse 33, he said, then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. And when you're in a place where you are in contact with God, what happens is, as a human, a flawed human, someone who realizes you might have been a murderer, a drunk, prostitute, anything that's labeled by sin, that God will allow you to be in his presence. Just think about that. You know, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, all of our righteous but filthy rags in the sight of God. But this holy God, the creator, the architect of the universe, the one who sits high and looks low, loves us so much that he would allow us to approach him and allow us to approach him on holy ground. He's allowing a murderer, someone who was had a flawed past, to be able to approach him. And that's us, and that's what keeps us humble and humility, is to realize that in all of our shortcomings, we still serve a God that is holy, that loves us, and wants us to be in the right relationship with him. And so in verse 34, he explains, I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and then come down to deliver them, and now come, I will send thee unto Egypt. And it is a powerful thing to know that God said, I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt. I have heard their moaning, and come down to deliver them. And then that verse where he says, and now. In other words, now it's God's time. Now it's the time for me to use my servant. Now it's time for me to allow this plan to come through fruition. He said, I will send thee unto Egypt. And something to see that when God's timing is right, is the best timing. So we'll go to verse 35, and then we'll go to the phone line. He says in verse 35, this Moses whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. So all the things that you were doubted about, that you didn't think were going to happen to a people that you didn't, I think we're going to listen. God says, this is who I'm going to send. The ones that doubted you, the ones that said, who's going to be a ruler, who made you ruler and judge? You're going to be the ruler and the judge. You're going to be the messenger. You're going to be the one that they least expected to minister that powerfully. In verse 36, and he brought them out. After that, he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, and in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness 40 years. So his ministry went to go another 80 years. And so we see that God has the long picture. He has the long view. He sees beginning and end at the same time. And we thank God for his word tonight that encourages us, those of us who've been in ministry for a while, that we've had lives where we had similar ups and downs and challenges, and some things we're not proud of, and some things that, you know, we're frustrated with, and some things that we're going through right now. But in it all and through it all, God's timing is still the right time for us. And this word encourages us to keep striving, keep trusting God, knowing that it's not over till God says it's over, and God will honor our faith. And when we least expect it, God will step in and use us, and he will always use us to his glory. And that should be all of our desire, that God would get the glory. I done ran my mouth for 45 minutes. I didn't mean to run that long, but the word is good, and I love the word of God, and I pray that you've been encouraged by the word of God. And so we're going to go to phone lines, and I just want to ask the question, how have you been encouraged by the word of God to continue along your Christian journey? How have you been encouraged by the word of God to continue along your Christian journey? We'll go to the first caller. Last four digits, 1741. 1741, you're on air.
Good evening, Pastor.
Good evening.
Happy New Year to you. And
Happy New Year.
I've been encouraged very much, first of all, by reading God's Word and reading about the different ones, Joseph, reading about David and Paul, even Jesus, and, you know, the different patriarchs and the different ones that Jesus used in the Bible, should I say that God used as his servant.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows us, first of all, that God has no respect of person. And whoever make themselves available, God will use. And one thing I love is these are real people just like us. They became weary, they became tired, they sinned, you know, they doubted God. It was time that they doubted God. It was time, you know, that they just didn't do right, you know. But with God's grace and mercy, you know, he still showed them love. He showed them forgiveness and kindness. And most of all, he had chosen them to do. He had a purpose and a will. And so regardless of how we act, and there are times we come rebellious, you know, sometimes we, you know, we get a little bit slowful, we get rebellious, you know, we get a little bit stubborn, you know, but God still is patient with us. He's long-suffering with us, and what he has in his plan for us to do, we're going to do it. Whether we do it willfully or unwillfully, we are going to do it. But it's best that we do it with a gladness of heart and want to do it. But sometimes it seems difficult, and we become a little bit fearful, and we doubt that. We don't have the faith in God. We believe. Sometimes we say, God, I can't believe, you know, you really want me to do this, you know. And we'll come up with a whole lot of excuses. But I thank God that he gives us a second chance to get it right with him. I thank God for that. And then I thank God for being patient and understanding with us. And and I want to close it. God is love. You know, truly he is love. And God shows us love every day. And we're going to get it wrong sometimes. But we just have to ask God to give us the strength and allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, that when we do get it wrong, we can go to him and he can help us get back on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think it's no perfect person, so we all going to get it.
Not at all.
Something wrong.
Not at all.
Sooner or later. But what happens, sometimes people become so disencouraged. And, you know, sometimes people build people up. Sometimes we build ourselves up.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to realize that we can't do nothing in our own strength and in our own power. Everything we do comes from God. Every gift, every talent, everything that we do come from him. And so whatever we do, we should give him the glory for it, because he allowed us to do it. And even the least little thing we do, if we do it from the heart and put God,
mm-hmm.
put him there first, then he's pleased with that.
Amen.
And that's it, Pastor. I don't have too much more to say other than that. Other than, you know, I thank God just to be able to serve him, and I thank him for his love. And most of all, I thank him for when I do mess up, you know, and don't get it right, when I'm disobedient, that God, you know, because of grace and because of Jesus dying for us, we have a chance to, you know, allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, clean us up, and make us that servant that God wants us to be. And so I thank God for reading about the patriots and knowing what they went through. Because when I see how God loved them, you know, that let me know that it's hope for me too, and that somebody else. And the other thing I want to share, Pastor, is sometimes if we take ourselves off, take our mind off ourselves and think about other people and do for other people, we can serve God a little bit better.
Amen. That's true.
It's all about letting him get the glory, and what he gives us, sharing it with others. And one thing about Moses, and I'm glad that you pointed out, is a lot of time we think we prepare for that journey and that test, but we're not. And so we have to, you know, we have to just wait and let God prepare us. Because had Moses done that 40 years ahead of time, he wouldn't have been able to do it.
No.
But God, not only he prepared him, hallelujah, thank God, not only he prepared him, but he prepared Aaron and the rest of them that God was going to use to help him. And so that's why we have to wait on ministry. So that God, people that he has put in place to help us so that we can be effective and be able to carry out his plan and do it for his glory.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last 4 digits, 3343.
You all there? Good evening and Happy New Year, Pastor. I know.
Good evening. Happy New Year.
Man, all right, just talking about Lindsay. I guess I'm going through the years, that's traveling through this book, and I tried to make it to myself, but I tried to make it live and read this book and don't do something stupid. I try to leave it with God and don't do it. I'm trying to not do it, but it's hard, and it's bad to get these things together. In this verse that we're reading about today, and I know what it is, that the 40 years and the 40 years that I've gone through together, he let me see another year to come through, and I'm trying to stay on the right track and not do myself, not be too grown, not to stay, and I got 80 years and I don't see, but stay on the right track and let God handle it. I'm trying to. Trying to. Lord knows I am, but it gets rough.
Yeah.
The road gets rough, and I can't do it by myself, but it's getting rough. But I'm going to stay on my right track and stay with the Lord and let him do it for me. I can't go no further than say this, but I sure follow this book right down the line here, and it's following me just like it came through the Lord. I'm following on his line, that I'm the one that's going through these changes. I got to learn to understand and stay with it and not change. Please forgive me if I don't sound around. If I don't get around, it's not that I didn't try. But I'm trying just now, and I'm going to leave it to God.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last 4 digits, 7971. 7971, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone. Happy New Year.
Good evening. Happy New Year.
Glad to be on this line tonight. In my life, how God has encouraged me to depend on Him and to know who He is. That's why this book was written for us.
Amen.
Because it's the guideline to letting us be reassured that He loves us. And we, as His people, have something to look forward to. And to, if we study His word, live by His word, and you see all these things come to fruition in your life,
mm-hmm.
just like it's written in this book,
mm-hmm.
that's all you need, because it lets you know it's real. It's real in our lives. And when you do it and good things turn out of it, and you're not by yourself, you're not alone.
Amen. Amen.
Because a lot of times people will depend solely on their pastor
mm-hmm.
or somebody, and when they can't reach them, they forget about God. They forget
mm-hmm.
about going to this book to find out what would God do. And that's the purpose for all of this. Trials and tribulations come in your life, and
yes.
we know we have a God. As my little girl said to me when she was a little girl, "Dad, Mama, I got two daddies.
Mm-hmm.
God is my father, and Daddy is my daddy."
Mm-hmm.
I know regardless to where I am in this world, I'm never alone.
Amen.
God is with me, and I know He loves me. And this is the
yeah.
encouragement that you have to hold on to. His word.
Yeah.
His word is so real in your life until you it's an assurance that you can't ignore. You can't ignore it. And it's just like it's written in biblical times. It's right here going on right today.
That's
and
right.
we can have the freedom of knowing that regardless of what goes on in your life or what happens in your life, you have God's word to depend on, and not only you, but your children,
mm-hmm.
your neighbors, friends, because we all can get down sometimes, and
yes.
we can read this book over and over, but we know we have you. We know we have the Gregorys. I know I have Reverend Lindsay. I have someone here that knows the word
mm-hmm.
and can deliver that word to me to soothe me.
Yes.
Soothe the pain that you don't really have to go through, because I'm not the only one out there.
Mm-hmm.
He loves all of us in spite of all of our ugliness.
Mm-hmm.
He said He would forgive us. And
Amen.
These are the things that encourage us to keep on living the life of Christ, because we know we have something to depend on. He lets you know that He loves you, that agape love, the kind of love
yeah.
that never changes. He loves us in spite. He doesn't love the sin. Sin is what will separate you away from Him
mm-hmm.
faster
mm-hmm.
than anything. But we know that God is for real. And for the things that you've prayed for and asked Him for, and He has delivered it, just out of the goodness of His heart, He sets you free from all the pain and suffering.
Amen.
The ugliness that happens to you, God can wash it away.
Amen.
Wash it away, make you free. You're free. When He said free indeed, yes, you're free.
Mm-hmm.
because he loves you. He says he loves you, and he shows you that he loves you. And that's why we study his word to live a righteous life and let him know that we give him all the glory because he loves us that much. If it wasn't for God in my life, I don't know where I would be.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy.
I mean, I don't look like what I've been through, but I know I can call on him any time of day or night, and he's there for me. He's there for me, and I thank God for him in my life, and I wouldn't have it any other way in my life. These words are on these pages, but they're just as real as they were written.
Amen.
You have the trust and the faith to believe and trust him and receive, because those are the tools that let him know that you love him by trusting his word, by trusting what he says. You gotta have the faith. You have to have the belief. And when you pray continuously, every day, it's not a one-time thing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to study his word all the time.
That's right.
You have to keep him in your life 24/7. And when you have that, that's why you can enjoy the beauty of his holiness in your life. It's a beautiful thing. No matter how hard, what you've gone through, what you've been through, and sometimes you don't have to go through anything. It's just true feeling of being a child of God and living a Christian holy life that's pleasing in the eyesight of your Heavenly Father.
Amen.
I thank you all. I thank you all. And I thank God for his word in my life. I thank him every day. And I pass it on to others. I don't hog it up for just for me.
All right.
I share God's word with so many people because of his goodness in my life. And I associate myself around people that sometimes you can read it over and over, but just to hear the kind words of another Christian soothing you with his word, reassuring you of his word, gives you a relief. I can't explain it. It's hard to explain what you go through, and sometimes you don't even need, and the phone ring, I was thinking about you. And I thought I'd give you a call. And you could have been going through a whole bunch of things, and you instantly forget about the situation.
Right.
And say, Lord, I thank you. You know, those are the things that let you know that you're not alone.
Amen.
He will send a messenger. He will send a comforter.
Yes, he will.
Every time. Every time. Every time. But if we continue to do what we're doing tonight, sharing God's love and God's word, these are the things that he's looking for us to do, and staying in touch with each other, to be there for each other. It's all that he wants out of us, to live that godly life that he says is ours. If we are obedient and be patient and wait on him, because he is there for us, regardless to what the situation might be.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. We thank God for another Bible study, the first one of the year. of our Lord 2020. He's excited about this upcoming year and what he has in store for all of us. We know that if he did it on last year, he can do it on this year. So we're going to just keep pressing into God and keep trusting him. The hour went by real fast. thank God that his word is just that good and just that rich. We can sit around and we can talk about a whole lot of stuff. But it's great to be able to sit around and talk about the goodness of the Lord. So with that, we're going to have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we thank you, God, for allowing us to get through 2018. I'm sorry, 2019. God, we thank you for allowing us to see 2020. And God, we thank you that you're still God and that you're still God all by yourself. Father, we pray for everyone on the line tonight that they would continue to be encouraged by you, encouraged by each other. God, that we will continue to serve you and continue to praise you and worship you. And God, continue to seek your will. God, we pray that you continue to bless all of our families near and far. Continue to bless our church family. Continue to bless Heart of God Church. Continue to bless New Birth, Dr. Gregory, First Lady Gregory. And continue to bless all of your churches all over this world, God, that stand in unity, God, continuing to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, continue to bless us that we would be able, God, to endure until the end, God, and we will continue to be able to remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, God. We, again, thank you for this word. Continue to let it find a lodging place in our hearts, that we might share it with others, and God, that we would do these things, that you would get the honor and you would get the glory. We're looking for a great year in you, God, so continue to guide us by your Spirit. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. First Thursday night in the year of our Lord 2020. Prayerfully again, see you all next Thursday night. Good night.